places that he don't wanna go. Looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. They're making promises but can't set you free.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And I'm going to be joined in a couple of minutes by a couple of friends that are in the studio. And got just a little bit of background noise there we have to take care of. So, again, your host, Ken Johnston. Welcome to What the World Needs Now. And it's always a pleasure for me to be with you here on these Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. And we hope you'll stick with us for the next hour with a couple of great guests. Before we go to them, just a reminder that coming up this Sunday at St. Simon and Jude Parish in Westchester is the Humane Vitae 50 Conference. It's going to take place from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they're going to have some great speakers out there in Mary Eberstadt, Christopher West, and Dr. Monique Rubaru. And going to get a great day on hand, and they'll be talking about Humane Vitae, written by Pope Paul VI some 50 years ago, and pretty much how everything that he predicted in that encyclical has come true over the years. So if you can get there, it'll be a great day. You can learn more at their website at hv50philly.com. That's hv50philly.com. Or give them a call at 215-393-3610. 215-393-3610. And I want to just praise and thank God for all of our listeners that are with us today. We thank you for your ongoing support, both your prayers and financial support that's allowed us to be on the air for some 30 years now. We just ask you to continue to support us in any way you can in order for us to continue to broadcast great shows like the one we have today. So I'm joined in the studio, which is often a rare thing. A lot of the Wednesdays our guests will call in, but I'm joined in the studio today by an old friend in Dave White and a new friend in Tom Moore. And as I mentioned during Saints and Sinners, I was in the dentist chair a few weeks back, and a mutual friend of Tom's and I, Dr. Bob Brett, had mentioned their ministry to me and thought maybe it'd be a good idea to have them on the radio and make the broader area here in southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware aware of this great organization. It's really helping people that need it the most. And their ministry is called Helping the Needy, and was established a few years back. And they do a number of things to help those that are in need. The organization, I think I read where you have 120 people now. That
130
are, now. 130 yeah. people that are involved and doing all types of things, from collecting furniture and distributing it to those that need it, to now helping in libraries and teaching reading and what have you. So it's great to have you guys here in the studio with me. So thanks for joining me.
Great to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Our pleasure.
So maybe we start off with where the idea came from, how Helping the Needy got started.
Yeah, Dave runs a Tuesday morning Bible study group that, about 25, 30 of us attend. And we have a gentleman that is in our group that's probably 85, 86 years old now. So one day after Bible study, he said to me, "Hey, Tom, can you give me a hand?" I said, "Sure, Dick. What do you need?" He said, "I'm moving some furniture." I said, "Really? Sure. In your house?" He goes, "No, I take it down to North Philly." I said, "Oh." So anyway, I joined him that day, and we went to somebody's house, and we picked up stuff and brought it out of the basement and into his van and got it all tied down. And I said, where are we going? He said, oh, you don't have to go. He said, I take that furniture down and I get the neighbors out and they get it in the house. So,
nice.
So I said, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, he did this maybe 5-8 times a year. Back in the day, a suburban church would adopt the city church, so it was our sister parish, which at one time was Holy Child, and now it's Our Lady of Hope. And so Dick, for him and Mary Jane Flood, started an outreach program at St. Alphonse's. And it was scholarships for kids that were going to the school at the time. And they got to know Dick pretty good. And so anytime there was a family in trouble, they would call Dick and he would, you know, find what they needed and deliver it. So I'm like, wow, this is pretty. So anyway, we do it a few times. I get some buddies to help me. And one day Dick says to me, you know, my wife thinks I ought to stop this. And I said, you ought to listen to your wife, Dick. And so anyway, we had this big entertainment set, and I don't know why he was taking it. So we're down in the basement, and it's over 100 pounds. And I get on the bottom, and I'm saying to myself, why am I doing this, you know? And so as we pick up, I look up, And I look at Dick's face, and I said, oh, my God, if this man dies, it's my fault. Mm-hmm. So I said, put it down. And so that led to me saying, okay, I'll take it over, and you know, which thrilled him. So now I'm sitting there saying, what do I do now? But so that was it'll be 3 years ago in August that this outreach program got us started. So Dave, being one of my friends, and I coached CYO for 33 years, so I have a lot of young men out there that say they owe me.
Yeah.
They didn't say that when I was coaching them, but they say it now. But
I saw one of the names out there, Mark Diano, and my son and his son. My son played for St. Luke's, and when we play St. Alphonse's, I know his son was a pretty good athlete. And
Jake, his son. And that's one of the amazing things about our ministry. Jake helps us.
Yeah.
I have a grandson coming home from Penn State that's going to help us. So beside helping the needy, it's a great opportunity to evangelize and bring our young sons and grandsons into, you know, our big focus at this point in time is Kensington.
Right.
And we have three schools down there that we're helping out right now, plus the community center ran by Sister Betty. And there's a new group down there that's like a storefront church with two priests and sister down there. We've introduced ourselves to them. And then there's some St. Joe nuns running a welcoming center down there.
Right.
So we get these young people down there and see the real deal. Mm. And that's another great thing. But that's how we started. And what happened was St. Alphonse's would let us use their, they had a little storage area, which is critical to what we do. Yeah. And we went for about, 9 months or something like that. And I think we took care of like 90 families. And it was very obvious. We were trying. Our biggest dilemma was where do we get transportation vehicles. So I asked, I asked the parish, for some money, the concern was, what's a bunch of old people doing and moving furniture down in Philadelphia? So it took a little while, I think, for us to really be able to position ourselves. We became HTN. One of our deacons, Deacon John, kind of got with us. We put together guidelines and down to the archdiocese, make sure everything was, so we could just go and do our thing. And that took some time.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the areas where Dave came into play. I know from working with him when we were out at Malvern. He's a kind of guy that dots the I's and crosses the T's and makes sure we're doing things by the book. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You know, when Tom was talking about our scripture study, and one of the things that we say, the prayer of the new evangelization, every Tuesday morning, our scripture study starts at 6:30 Tuesday morning until 8. And we open it with the prayer of the new evangelization, and it gets down to the part that says, if not me, who? If not now, when? And so when Tom came talking to us about Dick's Dilemma, you know, we all start to look at the ceiling and look the other way, you know, but you have to come back to where, you know, we say, what are we here for? What are we here for? Do we really believe what we're saying? And do we really believe this prayer? Or are we just blowing smoke at each other every Tuesday? Say, no, we have to do this. And we saw the value in it. And once Tom, you know, got us all to do one of these and make one of these visits, you're sold. Yeah. You see the need. You know, you read a lot and hear about the face of the poor, and you think you know what the face of the poor is, but you really don't until you get yourself into a hands-on ministry like this and go down where they live and see how they live and see what their needs are and see what beautiful people they are. And you say, you know, I got to do what I got to do. We got to help these people. I don't know what it's going to take, but we got to help. And so it's not been easy. And I think, you know, Tom and I talk all the time. This is not a ministry that's very clean and aseptic in terms of, well, you know, we just pick up this furniture from this donor and we'll take it to that house. It doesn't work that way. There are all kinds of issues that we deal with. I don't think there is a clean delivery that we have. You know, we talk about it all the time. This one-hour pickup that we have set up for our crew on Thursday morning turns out to be 3 hours because the people are not there, because the sofa doesn't fit. They didn't measure the size of the door. The logistics of this thing are numerous. You know, all the variables you have to deal with, you keep saying, we can't do this. But you keep coming back and doing it because you know it's right. You know that the Lord wants you to do this, you know, and St. Teresa is our patroness, and she keeps saying, now that we're on our brochure here, it says, never think that a small action done to your neighbor is not worth much. It's not how much we do that is pleasing to God, but how much love we put into the doing. And so we keep going back to that. You know, it's not how professional we are. It's not how great we are. It's not how efficient we are. It's not how quick we get there. It's not, you know, we're not on a clock. But it's what we're trying to do, yeah. and somehow or other it happens.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and Dave, you know, part of my background and having been involved in Mount Vernon, how I got involved with Father McKay some 10 years ago, and it's the same kind of situation for me where I had read about and heard about you know, stuff that went on in that neighborhood, but until you get down there and actually see the people and see Jesus in those people.
Yep.
I mean, they're no different than we are. It's just the circumstances that they of how they're brought up and where they are, but for the grace of God, it could have been us.
Absolutely.
You know, it wasn't anything I did that allowed me to be born and have my parents move me to the suburbs at the age of 3 and have the advantages that I had. And, you know, you're talking about Kensington and one of the other organizations that down there with Father Joe Devlin and Seamus Murphy there at FN Allegheny or Mother of Mercy House. And when they were getting started, they knew about the work that Father McKay and I and a bunch of others were involved in down in Grays Ferry, and they paid us a visit. So I've been over to visit them twice now. We actually have one of our guys that comes to South Philly. I think he makes a couple hundred peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them. As a matter of fact, he was taking 2 boxes over this morning. And you're absolutely right that, you know, we're all called to help the poor. Christ says it all the time in Scripture, you know, to serve the poor. And that, you know, we're born to be servants. And a lot of times we can do things in our own neighborhoods and we can help some people in our own communities that may be down and out. But until you get down there and see that it's almost like an epidemic and that so many people need the help. And I know for me, the days that we do this kind of work and when we come home that night and we're with our own families again and we realize, you know, how good we really have it. And then when I know for me, when I put my head on a pillow at night and able to thank God for allowing me to be just a part of that, to be able to put a smile on somebody's face that day. You can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't, absolutely.
We actually call our ministry Hands-On Feel-Good Ministry because nobody can deny. I mean, it's I'm a hard guy to say no to, right, Dave?
Right.
And, you know, it's the coach in me, I guess.
Yeah,
but I would badger guys. Come on, I need you. I got people down there expecting furniture, and I can't get you to help me. And all right. So then they do it. And the next day they call. They say, when are we doing that again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not making this up. This is just it. And nobody wants to the most valuable thing we have is our time, but what can be more valuable than using our time to help those that need us? And another prayer that we use, no better model than Mother Saint Teresa, but we put in our brochure, Jesus called you to bring his light to those who live in darkness. By tender loving care for the neediest, you become the sign of God's presence. His compassion in the midst of suffering, Lord, help us to recognize the face of Jesus in our suffering brothers and sisters and teach us to be the carriers of God's tender love and mercy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we struggle, we bring out Saint Teresa and we struggled several times. And, you know, like I didn't think about this. This is not something when I retired that I ever envisioned. But the Holy Spirit just keeps driving us, and anybody it's like yourself, you know what I'm speaking to. But I didn't feel like every once in a while I look up, I say, yo dude, can you slow me down a little bit here? You know, it's like, but you know, every time we struggled, I've had two meetings with the board and I've said, guys, you know, we're dead end here, we're let's just go have a great big party because we deserve what we've done. And the room got silent because everybody was complaining about how bad it was. So the ultimatum was, let's stop it. Nobody will stop it. Okay, yeah. They won't. So we want to make sure that this ministry continues, not just what it's doing now, but we're Mark, who's a lawyer. He's the president now of the
Maxwell.
Maxwell. He replaced Ron Jaworski. So Mark's, you know, he's helped us write all our bylaws. He's on our board. So we bring in expertise. We have medical doctors. We have a lot of professional people, and we just have people that want to help. So we to sustain our ministry and not kill people like Dave and me, we put together 17 committees.
Wow.
To support our and on our website. They're all spelled out what they are, and we have coordinators for all 17 committees. That's what it takes to perform. Beside, we got in the furniture business, but we saw maybe 40% of the families we support are coming out of shelters. That's homeless shelters, and it's shelters being ran for pro-life. And when we go into these homes, there's nothing in it. These people are coming in with the clothes on their back. So we had a lot of comfort in providing all this furniture, but we start to say, you know what? They're out at McDonald's tonight because they don't have pots and pans. They don't have plates. They don't have dishes. So our wives got together, you know, and us, we all started out guys that could lift furniture and that, you know, and mm-hmm. and obviously any good organization has great women in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We nominated our wives.
right.
But so now when we go into anybody coming out of a shelter, we put these kits together for a family of or a serving of four and six. So we can put two together if it's a larger family. And so now we go in, and just little things like people that we go into, they'll have some of these beautiful paintings, you know, like especially seniors that are downsizing and, you know, they're in less. And we look, we take these paintings, and so many times you give them all this beautiful furniture and you hand the mother a painting that she can put up on the wall. Now it's a home,
right.
You know, and it's just things like that that we experience. And then Kensington is the second in the country of the United States. It's the second most poverty-driven
poorest
neighborhood.
Right.
Neighborhood.
Yep.
and certainly first in Pennsylvania, but second in the country. It's 30 minutes from where we live. Yeah. And when we go down there, we just keep finding reasons to go down. So that's why we ask our, you know, we ask our volunteers to serve on some of these committees. And in June, we're going down, last Friday in June, and we're going to serve at the community center. We're going to serve 150 people every the last Friday. Different organizations go down. Sister Betty gets groups down there. And so we'll be doing that. We have the three schools. We've already provided one school 60 new beds for their students that had no beds. Hmm. So the principal and the counselor and we went in with our donor, and we said we'll bring 30 brand new beds in, and we'll have you know, you need to tell us who the children are, and we're in a neighborhood that with the kind of beds that we supply, they could actually carry them home. And so we did that last year, two 30s and 60. So we start doing these beds, and a friend of ours lost her husband, and she said, I want to donate a set of brand new sheets with every bed. So that got to be so expensive that we took over, but she made a huge donation for sheets. Wow. Then we found a group that's called Linus Blankets, and these are ladies in Montgomery County that knit blankets for you know, sick children, people that are fighting cancer. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of those volunteers, her house is full of blankets. So she heard what we do. So now we go in, we give them a new bed, new sheets, and these Linus blankets. Now Linus, the person, I forget the gentleman's name, he authorized them using, because it's all characters. Kids, they love their blanket and all that. And recently, one of the schools we were in working with in Kensington, and I said, if you had, what else beside what we're doing would you, and they said that they needed tutoring, and they had a library that wasn't funded, mm-hmm. so they needed somebody to come in. So we just, eight of our ladies just spent the last 4 weeks, they go down one day a week for 2 hours, and we're this is kind of like a startup program, but we're going to go back in the spring and try to do that. So there's and you know, every time we go down there, we find something else. So.
Sure.
Well, you know, one of the challenges that Tom and I have had is you want to maximize the time. You're going to ask your movers and loaders and all. You want to ask them to help, but you want to be organized in such a way that they can come in and they can know what their mission is and be able to go to the warehouse and pick out the right merchandise and take it to the right address. And know that it's the first floor or second floor, or know that you have to come in the back alley, know all of that information. And it's taken us a long time to get the quality of information that we need. But we have one of our guys is in charge of our Montgomeryville warehouse. Another one of our fellows is in charge of our Cheltenham warehouse. And it's one of our guys is an airline pilot who is really, he has some downtime from time to time, and he's the one that marries up all of the variables that we have to deal with. We have this need, we have this furniture, we have these numbers of furniture, and he sits and builds up the crews, you know, and, nice. And it's an amazing, it's a really involved process, because the worst thing you can do is ask your guys to come out on a cold winter night and then spend an hour and a half of their time trying to find merchandise, and it frustrates people.
Sure.
And there's enough frustration in it without, you know, adding to it. So Tom has done a magnificent job in spending time organizing, you know, and defining procedures and things like that that you really have to have. The logistics of this is amazing. There's so much involved in it. And you want to try to eliminate every possible obstacle to making a clean, you know, whether it's a pickup of furniture from a donor or a delivery to a family. You want to minimize the confusion, because there's enough there to start with. You got language barriers you have to deal with. You know, you have unfamiliarity of the streets. And
Small streets.
Yes.
Barely.
Small streets.
Yeah.
We rent cargo vans now, and so you know, it's a part of our expense, a big expense, but we tried going down there with trucks and that don't work, and we need some. So we do that. So we do it. We do March, April, May in the spring, and September, October, and November. But today's point, we realize that to organize the best we can organize ourselves, we ask for advocates. So we have 10 advocates of families. So the request from the ministry comes in to me, and I make sure it's got the information we need to process it. Then I sign it to the family committee, and he assigns it to one of the advocates. The advocate calls up the family and introduces themselves, and they are the contact from that point in time. And many times, like, the ministry will say they need a bed and they need a couch. Well, when the advocate gets on the phone, they find out other things that they need. So this list of two turns out to be 7 or 8, which is what we really want. And then so that whole coordination, that's 10 more people. That's not including the 50 or 60 guys that we're getting to move furniture. And then on the donor side, you know, we also have advocates. So when somebody calls me up, we used to say, yeah, and we'll take whatever you have. Now we become selective because we have stuff we've taken that we've never had a request for. So right. so now we got 7 or 8 guys. When we get the call, the advocate calls the donor and sets up an appointment and comes physically to their house, measures it,
right,
condition, comes back, we check with our inventory people, and, you know, for things that we need, we say, you know, and some people say all or none, and we say, sorry, it's none, you know. But yeah. So all these things just take a lot, and, you know, we're, like I said, we'll be coming up on 3 years. We've learned a lot, but wow. we know we do great things, but we still have a need. You hear 130, and you say, how can you have any problems?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
yeah, and you can never get all 130 at the same time, and chances are when you need somebody, it's when nobody's around. I think the really beautiful part of this story that we haven't mentioned yet, though, is that you really started this, you know, like you said, from one man and learning all this. It's like on-the-job training. It's like nobody handed you a manual and said, here's how you do it. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about some of those hurdles. And I know just from my own experience that the evil one always likes to get his his hands in there. So we are at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. Again, my guests today are Tom Moore and Dave White, and they're with Helping the Needy, a St. Alphonsus Parish ministry, where they distribute furniture and goodwill to those, especially in the Kensington neighborhood, but probably other places as well if they
Germantown,
need it.
Yeah, a lot of Germantown.
Yeah, good. So we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Jeff Salvino with the Daily Salvo. In Scripture, we're told that to be perfect, we must sell everything and give it to the poor. Now, this doesn't mean that you literally have to get rid of your material possessions and go broke to achieve a human state of flawlessness and faultlessness. What it means is that to be perfect in the pursuit of living a God-centered life, you must openly promote and evangelize your richness of faith before those who are spiritually impoverished. And yes, also share your treasure with the economically impoverished. But first and foremost, prioritize becoming a salesman for the Almighty, as you're an agent of the Lord.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and In His Sign, have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Google phone number.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And before we get back to the guests, just I want to take a moment to praise and thank God for all of our listeners that are with us today. And thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, especially your prayers and your financial support, again, that's kept us on the air for some 30 years now. And we never have enough financial support. We're holding our own, but we can always, like every organization out there, we can always use a little bit more. So if you contribute, we certainly appreciate it. If you haven't thought about it in the past, as Dennis says in our ad each day, you know, plant your seed money here because it's really, really put to good use. So our guests today are Tom Moore and Dave White, and they're with the Helping the Needing Ministry that's based in St. Alphonsus Parish in Maple Glen, Pennsylvania, not too far from my hometown in Glenside at St. Luke's there. And before we went to the break, you know, one of the things I had mentioned was, you know, that they really started this ministry from the ground up, started with one man, is now up to, you know, over 130 or over 130 people that are involved now. And, you know, one of the things that came to my mind as we were talking about this is that they've really, it's all been on-the-job training, that it's through trial and error that that they've brought this whole thing together and been able to help so many. But it's also something that can be modeled and used elsewhere. If you're listening and perhaps you've been trying to figure out what you want to do with all your spare time, Dave and Tom are both got into this after they had retired. But if you're retired and looking for something to do, if you have a men's group perhaps in your parish and you're looking for some kind of outreach ministry to get involved in, and talking to Tom and Dave over the break, you know, they'd be more than happy to share the information that they've gathered over the years and the model that they've put together. They'd be more than happy to share with others because, as they said, you know, they're helping particular neighborhoods and parishes that they've hooked up with
but there's so many more out there that could probably benefit from a ministry such as this. So if you're interested, you can reach them at 215-346-6416. Again, that's 215-346-6416. We'll give that information out before the end of the show. I'm also assuming that they can use that number if they want to make donations or get in touch with you for any other reason.
Yeah.
To give you...
We actually have a web link. So within our parish, we've been able to take the parish website and link right into helping the needy. So that site has a lot of our information, what our committees are, who our officers are, the whole deal. So we'll give that to you before we leave, too.
Yeah, I got it up in front of me here. It's stalphonsusparish.org/helping-the-needy. And I'm sure if you Google, and it actually how I found it is I Googled Helping the Needy St. Alphonsus, and it came right up. It was the first link.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So you can learn all about it. And again, they're not bashful with the knowledge that they put together. It's all out here. And how to reach them, both email address and phone number. So again, it's stalphonsusparish.org/helping-the-needy. And again, we'll give that out along with the phone number before we leave today. So you mentioned early on the Kensington connection, and I feel like over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months of my own involvement in various organizations, that there seems to be a concentrated effort now in that area. We mentioned Mother of Mercy House with Father Devlin and Father Murphy. Brother Andrew and the Franciscans are now up in Church Street in Frankfort. They have 13 Franciscans that are trying to minister to the folks that are living under the bridges in Kensington. Sisters of Hope, or Sisters of Life, rather,
yeah.
That are in the
neighborhood. St. Malachy's, right?
Yeah, yep. And they came down to visit our ministry in Grays Ferry, and the wonderful work they're doing trying to help mothers that are in that horrible predicament of trying to decide whether or not to have abortions. There's another guy, Ed Morris, that's he's been on this on this station. He was on a couple weeks ago on our Friday show. But so many people that are trying to have an effort. I'm almost thinking that sooner or later we need a summit down there and get all these groups together to talk about what we're doing and how we can help each other. But in this wonderful work that you're doing, again, pretty much concentrated in Kensington, but you also mentioned Germantown.
We do a lot of work in Germantown. I was born and raised in Germantown and got to know, you know, working with the Vincentian community there, that at St. Vincent's, there's a great organization tied into St. Vincent's called Face to Face. And they do a lot of work with the community and a lot of help with the problems of literacy, problems of dealing with government forms, all those kinds of things that a lot of the elderly people or new people or people who are immigrants, they have trouble dealing with that. And of course, the face-to-face is a great help for them. And so we got involved with Germantown, and so a big piece of our ministry is there as well.
Very good.
Yeah. Just some Norristown, too.
Just last week, we got a request from a group called Germantown Avenue Crisis Ministry. And it's neighbors looking after neighbors.
Wow.
And they heard about us from Face to Face. And they also, the other, St. Vincent de Paul is right there in Germantown, too.
Sure.
So there's at least 3 or 4 ministries that we hear from that gets us into Germantown. We also... a couple of the interfaith shelters that we work with, depending on the family, how much this whole poverty thing is, it's a business. I mean, there's people out there renting houses to people coming out of shelters being paid for by other people, and there's like a point system.
Sure.
And ideally, you can get in Germantown because there's still a lot of really great homes in Germantown.
Yep.
But occasionally, some of the ones that are on the low end of this rating have to go to West Philly. So for our ministry, that's a jaunt. But because we work with the shelter and they don't have a choice of where their families are going, so we go to West Philly occasionally by, you know, only by need. So, right. But the whole North Philadelphia from Broad Street down to Lehigh is where we go. I mean, I know those neighborhoods so good now. And matter of fact, I just got a guy I coached that retired from FedEx. And I said, you know those streets. You're joining this ministry.
There you go.
But, yeah, so we didn't want it to be this large, but we can't find any reason why. And we're not looking for additional ministries because, like, the first group in Kensington, a social worker who knew Our Lady of Hope, she actually did social work up there, heard about us, and she called me. She's a saint. And,
Isabel Armstrong.
She is a saint. And so she said, could you take care of a family that are really in trouble? And I said, sure. That was our first introduction. Well, we have delivered to 90 homes in that neck of the woods. And it's probably in an 8-block area, maybe 4 this way and 4 that way, 16-block area. We've been in 90. And every one of those homes went to Shepherd Elementary. They had a child in Shepherd Elementary that Isabel knew about, and she told us what was going on. So we have, so that was our introduction down there. And then sure enough, she calls me in the summer and says, Mr. Moore, by the way, every time we've delivered, she sends me a thank you card with the signatures of the people we deliver to.
Wow.
I mean, it's powerful.
Awesome.
It's powerful.
Sure.
I mean, that's the kind of people we're talking about. And then, so Isabel called and apologized. I know, Mr. Moore, you're not doing anything. Isabel's my age. She calls me Mr. Moore, right? So, but she said, I just got a call from a counselor at another school in Kensington, and they just had a travesty. They had a family that lost everything with a fire. So I said, absolutely, I'll get a group together. Now, you talk about setbacks.
Yeah.
So we went and we got all, we were ready for this family. We had 2 sessions set up. We had a big truck, 2 trucks. One day it was like living room and all that, and the other day it was furniture. So we have about 7-8 guys, you know, all into this thing. It was near K&A. Mm-hmm. And they get down to the house, and first of all, like every day, the phone number that we were contacting was a different phone number, which should have. But anyway, we're going.
Yeah, yeah.
We get there, and I wasn't there that night. I had a, fortunately, a Montgomery County detective was there and in our group. And they go up to the house, and the woman comes out hysterical. No, 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 you cannot bring the furniture in here. And we're like, what's going on here? And so they find out that it was rat infested. Wow. They had just given them this apartment. They got in that day, and she said, I'm not going to live here.
Yeah.
So don't bring the furniture in.
Yeah.
So fortunately, our guys said, okay, okay. They settled her down. They said, okay, do you have your landlord's number? So she said, yes. So he calls, the detective calls the landlord, introduces himself as detective.
Yeah.
And the landlord now says, okay, my brother-in-law has an empty garage that you can put the furniture in because we ain't taking it back. So,
right. So
we go ahead and they put it in the garage, and I followed up for weeks to try to find out if it ever got into the house. You know, so I thought, well, we're done with this ministry, right, or this school. Yeah. A year later, okay, they call with another kind of problem, and I said, whatever happened to that family? And we canceled the second, so they got the one load. And she said, it all worked out. They finally did get the furniture. But now we're in that school real heavy. So I mean, you know, this is the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's these things just don't, every time we think we're defeated, you know, like this is not worth it. You know, all these guys, and a lot of them were new guys, never been out, and then they come away with this, and then we go, how's that happen? But, you know, I guess it's the same in our lives, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, like you said.
I wanted to get to that point about the face of the poor. We talked about that earlier. And one of the things that Tom and I have found is in the parishes, and of course we should have known this, but it's very obvious to us now, people really do want to help.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, the parishioners and the church, they want to help, but they don't really know how. You know, and giving money is great. It's wonderful. We need it. But they want to do more than that. And so this has given us an opportunity to reach out and to the local parishes. You know, somebody asked me, how do you get your volunteers? Well, you know, first of all, you have to have a president who is relentless. That's about 75% of our success is we got a relentless president, you know. But he's not afraid to ask people to help. And so what we've been working with our connections at Holy Martyrs, St. Anthony's, St. Genevieve, St. Catherine, St. Raymond's, all around the area. And we're into all their parish bulletins. They allow us the space. And that's where we get a lot of our help and our donations, our furniture donations. We really don't run short of people who would like to give us furniture, you know. And so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to manage that.
Right.
And one of the things we learned, as Tom mentioned earlier, is you really have to go out and look at this to make sure it is something that you can use. You know, people, you know, have a tendency to embellish what they have. And there's some things that you say, you know, we can't take that,
right.
You know, and we're getting a little hard nosed about that because we know there's enough other people that do have plenty of things that we can use that are good, usable items.
Sure.
But the volunteer thing, we have people from some of our volunteers from up in Hatfield. What's
yep.
that? St.
Hilltown.
Hilltown.
Yeah. So another great story for us is that last year. So in our parish, St. Alphonse's, we have a giving tree at Christmas time, and Our Lady of Hope is one of the recipients, and it's always been, a big thing. Well, recently, our parish administrator, Kathy Morris, called me up, and she said, Tom, we're not getting much requests, and the giving tree is so big in our parish. Everybody, you know, like, I can't even fill up a tree. So she said, do you have anybody? And she, you know, that was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So I call up the Shepherd School and I said, would you be interested if we would bring Christmas presents? Now, both of the schools that we support are kindergarten through fourth grade. So, I mean, it's all love, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not sassing back too much yet.
Right, right.
So when you go into these schools, you just, they're public schools. They wear uniforms.
Yeah.
Very disciplined, tremendous committed teachers, many of them Catholic.
Yeah.
From parishes and things like that. And they're both, Spanish communities. But the point is that what we ended up doing is going to both schools. We took their kindergartens, their first grades, and some second grades, and we had 350 children.
Wow.
That we put on St. Alphonsus, St. Genevieve's, and the parish in Hilltown. Sacred Heart, Our Lady
yeah.
of the Sacred Heart. So all three of those parishes embellished what we were doing. And you talk about the Holy Spirit, so Father Kevin Mulligan, who's at St. Genevieve's now,
yep.
who I used to coach against, by the way. He used to coach St. Philip Neri, and
sure.
I coached St. John of the Cross. But so I went over and visited with him, and he just looked at me, and he goes, we've been in Kensington for the last 20 years at this house. And I was just down there last week and with the people that shut you down. The building's not... You know, the building.
Inspectors?
Yeah,
the inspectors. Yeah. So they shut it down. So the ministry was no longer. And that's where St. Genevieve's took their gifts. So he hooks me up with a lady that's been doing that. We get all those gifts. And we got the St. Alphonse's gifts. And then one of our volunteers, as Dave mentioned, Maureen Thies, she's looking for things for her parish. So she goes to her parish. So what we did is one of my friends is a contractor. We got his tractor trailer. The Saturday before we were going to deliver, and we were Santa Claus with the sled going around. And at each parish, we had these volunteers. We had over 1,000 gifts for these 300 kids.
Yeah.
And in our brochure, you'll see some spectacular, but what the teachers and the administrators said, for most of these kids, this is their Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we had some people, we needed a lot of people to deliver these gifts, and I looked around, some of the ladies were weeping. I mean, these kids were patient, waiting for their gift. They were happy with their wow. fellow students getting gifts. It was
marvelous.
It made my Christmas, and sure. I've had a lot of Christmases.
Yeah, man. We have about 8 minutes left, so I don't know if anybody that's listening out there, if you have a question or comment and want to give us a ring, you got a couple minutes to get in. The number 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you need to call toll-free, you can do so at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. And I'm still going back to the fact that this is started by one man, and like you said, a number of times that you may have wanted to quit this thing, and I've been involved with other ministries myself, some that have come and gone, but others that waned. And then, you know, when the Holy Spirit sees fit, you know, he just... revives things and sends you the people you need, the resources you need, and this is just a great example of how good our God is, that he would inspire, you know, a few individuals to get this thing started, and it's grown exponentially. And again, you're only 3 years into this,
right.
You know, I think most if somebody was listening and said, how old's this thing, or you know, or how old do you think this thing is, you'd probably turn around and say, you know, 10, 20 years old, but they yeah. accomplish this much in such a short time.
It's 300 families, over 1,000 people that we've been able to help. And, you know, we've been asked recently by other ministries, and Dave and I talk about it, and we attribute it to our passion for helping the needy, our commitment to do it, and begging. And, you know, without begging, we wouldn't be successful. So, you know, you get to the point where you're comfortable begging because you know what you're begging for.
I think what Tom is talking about begging, he's talking about begging our volunteers to be a mover, you know, to pick up the furniture from time to time. Because, you know, people, we put the schedules out there and we say we need a crew of five on a Thursday night, and you end up having to make phone calls to get them. But they'll come, but they just don't volunteer. They just say, well, somebody else will do that. No, somebody else won't do it. But Tom gets on the phone. I talk about him being relentless. We get the volunteers we need.
Yeah, we know. I mean? We know this from kind of work
from Malvern,
the retreat house. Yeah. And when you need something, it's everybody. And I don't know how it got to this point, but everybody is so busy today between work and kids and family and sports and activities. And you really need to give somebody a reason to give something up, especially, you know, it could be their only night free that week. But like you're saying, once you do it once, you really look forward to it. And we've seen it so many times at Malvern. I've seen it in my other ministries that I'm involved in, that if you get somebody involved just once, and they nothing gives you that the grateful heart like that, the smile from somebody that's really in need, to know that you've really made a difference in their lives. And if we're going to work 9 to 5 every day and going home to our families and going to sports activities and plays and shows and all that stuff, I mean, it's wonderful things. It's all good stuff to spend time with your family. But it doesn't give you that same feeling or that same reward that it does to reach out and really help somebody that
needs it.
Yeah,
you know in your heart you're called to do more.
Yeah.
And you can do more.
Right.
You really can do more.
Yep.
You know, and this is a way for us that we do more.
Right.
We're able to do more.
And, you know, we're on the radio here. We're not on TV. So, and I got a great face for radio. But, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm in my mid-50s. And I know you guys have quite a few years on me. You know, to be doing this work in your 60s and 70s. And folks, you can't say it, but they're here.
You got to go higher for Dave.
80s. And they're sitting here and they're smiling, and I'm sure when they leave here tonight that there's going to be phone calls that need to be made and everything else. And, you know, this all goes back to, it doesn't come from us. All good comes from God. And if he wants us to do it, he's going to give us the grace and the will and everything that we need in order to make this happen. And, you know, we can say this from experience. And for those that are listening and wondering, you know, how the heck does all this work? it starts with prayer, and it starts with that yearning that Dave mentions. We all have that on our heart. We don't have a choice. God puts it there.
Right.
You know, I see it in my ministries with the addicted. You know, and you know, Father McKay would say it all the time. You know, every man that knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. They're looking for that experience, that ecstasy, and so many times we look for it outside of ourselves, and it comes from within, but it's satisfied when we do it for others. And for many people, myself included, for so long it was really hard to do. I was so selfish. And when you get past that, and you come to realize that when we do what we can for those that need it the most, there is no greater thing on earth.
Exactly.
And the Lord says it over and over again in Scripture. If you read the Gospels and pay attention, you know, he tells us that's what we're called to do. And he wouldn't tell us that unless he knew that it was going to bring the joy and the happiness that we talk about. And it's real joy, real happiness,
absolutely,
something that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
So we just have a couple of minutes left. I do want to give out the number again, and the website is stalphonsusparish.org. That's stalphonsusparish.org/helping-the-needy. Again, if you Google Helping the Needy in St. Alphonsus, you'll find it. And the phone number is 215-346-6416, 215-346-6416. Don't get discouraged if it's not answered by a human. Make sure you leave a name and a good contact number, and Tom or one of the 130 volunteers that they now have as part of this ministry will get back to you. I'm sure it's not Tom every time anymore.
I hope not.
Yeah. So, final words before we go?
No, only that it's been a wonderful experience for us. We think about, you know, Pope Francis says that, you know, sometimes you get mud on your feet.
Mm.
Well, what Tom and I have learned early on, you get a lot of mud. You get a lot of mud, but you keep going. And the harder it is, the more rewarding it is.
Right.
And we just hope maybe that our example might other people might want to think about trying this on their own and trying to help the needy out in Coatesville or the needy out in different areas of the archdiocese, because the need's there.
Absolutely.
Our gratitude for having us on today,
yeah.
Ken.
It's my
just
pleasure.
Wonderful, but. Truly want to thank our volunteers. You know, Dave and I get credit for, you know, what we do, but we don't do anything without them. And there's so many great people that have stepped up, and people that, you know, they're content with what they're doing, and they see we need to do something else. And they, I mean, that's really huge, and that's why we still exist. So thank you, all our volunteers at HTN. We thank our parish for supporting us. And all the donors of furniture, you're so important to us. And you know, money somehow always gets into it. And so we're just starting our financial campaign now, and we're going to need to purchase a lot of beds this year that we haven't in the past. So we're very hopeful that some people can help us there.
Very good. Again, it's Helping the Needy, based out of St. Alphonsus Parish in Maple Glen. Google them at St. Alphonsus Helping the Needy, and I'm sure you're going to be able to find them. It's been great having you guys in the studio. A lot of weeks I'm in here, and I have my guests call in. It's great to have people right here in the studio. Again, my name's Ken Johnston, and it's been a pleasure to be with you for these 2 hours, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.